Can you see the deer in that picture? See the deer? Now, maybe some of the deer hunters saw that because they know what to look for. So let me tell you a little bit about how to see a deer in the woods. What you do is you look for horizontal lines. When you're in the woods, there are normally two kinds of horizontal lines in the woods: a fallen tree and the back of a deer. All right, so let's take a look at that again. Do you see it? It's there, just to, there you go. There's a deer. You see it now? You can pick it out? So, when you know what to look for, you begin to see things you've never seen before. When you know what you're looking for, you can see things you didn't see before. And so that's what we're going to take a look at this morning. We're going to learn to see people differently. More specifically, we're going to look for hungry people. And like last week, we're going to be taking a look at a tax collector. But this time, we're looking from a different perspective at a tax collector. Last week, we learned that what the world calls scum is a valuable person and worth pursuing. Today, we're looking at how to find them and then loving them into the kingdom. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever been surprised when someone you know becomes a follower of Jesus and you go, wow, I would have never thought they would ever? I have. And what that shows is that there was a hunger in that person that I didn't notice. I missed it. So, wouldn't you like to be able to find people that are lost, that are hungry to learn about Jesus? And that's what we're going to learn today from Jesus in Luke chapter 19, starting in verse 1. Jesus entered Jericho and made his way through town. There was a man there named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector in that region, and he became very rich. He tried to get a good look at Jesus, but he was too short to see over the crowd, so he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree beside the road, for Jesus was going to pass that way. And so the first thing we learn from that, look for people that are hungry to know about Jesus. Now, Zacchaeus was a strategic person. He was the chief tax collector in that region. Everybody knew him, and everybody hated him. Why? He was wealthy. He got wealthy from the people that he ripped off in that region. Everybody knew who he was. And so if they took a poll of people in that whole area, who are people that would be interested in knowing about Jesus, Zacchaeus would be dead last on that list. He was an unlikely follower of Jesus because it says he had become very rich. Their hunger may not make sense. You would never look at them and go, well, hey, maybe Zacchaeus, he's the one that's going to be a follower of Jesus. Who in your mind right now is the last person you would ever expect to be a follower of Jesus? Oh, yeah, he'll never. Can I challenge you to do something? Pray for them to come to faith in Jesus. I've got some people on my prayer list that I'm praying for to come to Jesus. And you would, if I said that, you, many of you would know their names. And you would go, really? Yeah. Yeah. And I can't wait until that happens. I can't wait. So their hunger, it may not make sense. So if you think you're crazy, you're probably right on target. And it's, there was at least some curiosity. It says he tried to get a look at Jesus. He tried to get a look at Jesus. So look for clues of curiosity. Look for clues of curiosity. He climbed a tree, and you think, well, that's pretty obvious. If we're going down the street and we see, you know, one of the mayor of Warsaw climbing a tree, we would go, oh, there's something going on there, right? But see, there was a huge crowd, and he was not in the crowd. He was ahead of the crowd, and nobody really noticed. He had a hunger, and it stood out. Most spiritually hungry people won't be climbing trees. So how can you identify them? One way, they will have questions. When I was a youth pastor, we were on our way to a youth conference, and there was a young lady, Deanna, who was invited by a girl in the youth group, and she'd been coming to youth group, and she'd never been to a youth conference before. Quite frankly, I hadn't been to a youth conference. It was my first one, and there was a list of items that I sent with them to bring, and one of them was a Bible. And I don't know if she'd ever read a Bible before, but it was about a 3 or 4 hour bus trip. And she was in the seat behind me on the bus, and she was reading from the book of Romans. And she had questions. What does this mean? Hey, Ken, what does this mean? What does this verse mean? What is he talking about there? And she had all kinds of questions. 2 days later, Bob Laurent was speaking. And we were seated right down there. And he gave the altar call at the end. And she was the first one there. And she was hungry for Jesus. I could tell that she was hungry because she had questions. And she heard the truth. And she heard the gospel. And bam, she came forward. What are other clues? People in transitions. People in a new marriage. People having a baby for the first time. People moving into a new home, a new job, a new school. Those kinds of transitions are scary, and people have questions and they're looking. Maybe it's people under tension. Who do you know that's going through emotional pain? Maybe a divorce, a death of a loved one, or unemployment, financial problems, marriage and family difficulties, loneliness. Those kinds of stresses happen in a life, and in those times, people are hungry. God, how can you help me? What? How many men came to faith in a foxhole in a foreign country? They had nothing left. Many of them believed they were never going to live through that. And they reached out to God. In that moment, there are a lot of people in similar foxholes today. And if we can find them and love them into the kingdom, we'll be doing a great service for the kingdom. But it also says he was too short to see over the crowd. Realize their limitations. There are things in their life that hold them back. You know, people, I don't know if you know this, some people have a past of wild living. Did you know that there are people like that? I'm one of them. And there are people I've talked to, they said, oh man, I could never go to a church because the moment I walk in the church, the whole building will collapse. Do you know people that are like that? You know, because of their past. Maybe it's because of hurts that they've been through. Maybe they've been de-churched. You know anybody's been de-churched? I worked with a guy, the owner of the company that I worked for, I don't know, 15 years ago or so. He tell me, hey, whenever we have an employee meeting, I want you to share, you know, 5-10 minutes and somehow share the gospel in that time. And so I would do that, and guys would come and talk to me about stuff. And I had a guy I worked with that came to me, he said, hey, you know, I read the Bible to my kids, but I just can't go to church because of what happened to me when I was a kid. And I said, what happened? He said, my dad was abusive, and my mom had had enough, and she decided to divorce my dad. And so he said, I can remember exactly where we were in the church, and she told the pastor, she said, I've decided to file for divorce. And he said the pastor yelled, and he hit the pulpit so hard, he thought he broke his hand. And he yelled at her, God hates divorce! And they never, for some reason, they never went back to church again. And my heart broke for him and for that family that they were treated like that. And there are people that have been through things like that. And they're hurting, and they're, that's a limitation. We need to understand that. And have you ever heard of the term an EGR? It stands for extra grace required. You know people like that? It's going to take extra grace required. But that's what Jesus loved us with. And so people have limitations. And so as we look for them and look for a hunger, we need to realize that. It goes on in verse 5. When Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus and called him by name. Zacchaeus, he said, quick, come down. I must be a guest at your home today. Focus on the one person. Jesus was amazing at that. Jesus could have easily gotten wrapped up in the crowd. Look at all the people. Hey, you're getting a big crowd. Everybody likes me. Look at the big crowd. All the time, Jesus was ignoring the crowd to focus on the one person. He did that over and over again. The woman with the issue of blood. He was on the way to raise a girl from the dead, and he stopped that to focus on a lady that had touched him. A blind Bartimaeus, a man with leprosy, a Canaanite woman, a paralyzed man on a mat, and a widow from Nain whose only son died. Jesus took his eye off the crowd and focused on the one. That's what we need to do, is focus on the one person. Focus on them one at a time. And then in verse 6, Zacchaeus quickly climbed down and took Jesus to his house in great excitement and joy. But the people were displeased. He has gone to be the guest of a notorious sinner. They grumbled. Can't you just hear that their hands are on their hips? Some of them are wagging their finger. You know? Ah, no. Don't be dissuaded by religious people. Often people who are religious, you know, their focus is on, stay away from them because they have sin on them. Right? We don't want to get any of that sin on us, so we stay away from all the sin people so that we will be clean, right? And there are people like that. Paul made it very clear in 1 Corinthians 1 and chapter 5 that we can't get away from sinful people. They're all around us. And religious people have a group of people that they call thems. Oh, are you one of them? Oh, you don't hang around them, do you? You're not going to go out to eat with them, are you? Yeah. God loves them. All of them. God loves them. I have a friend who wrote a book, What I Learned from a Gay Bar. And her name's Rhonda Michelin, and she hung out at a gay bar to minister to people. Now, if you were raised like I was, the worst part of that is going to a bar. I know of two men who would go to porn conventions with their wives to hand out Bibles. And there are a lot of people like, and they had an impact. And the amazing thing was, all the people would stand in line to get a Bible at those conventions. They were the only one there demonstrating care for them, not trying to make money off of the people that were there. There are all kinds of ways that you know, religious people look, oh, you can't do that. You stay away. We need to get in there. Jesus said something about the gates of hell not overcoming. We can kick down the gates of hell, and we ought to do that. We ought to charge the gates of hell with water pistols. I mean that. I actually, you know I'm stupid, right? I've actually thought about one time just buying a bunch of water pistols and just having it say, charge hell on the side of them and just hand them out, because that's what we need to do. We don't need to be afraid of the world. Jesus said, yeah, you're going to have problems, but it's okay. I've already overcome the world. And guess what? Sometimes the world will kill us. Right? And we die and we go to heaven. Explain to me how that's losing. We should be confident as we encounter people who think completely different than we do. We should love them and serve them and bless them. Verse 8, it says, meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and said, I will give half of my wealth to the poor. Okay, so half of what he has goes to the poor. And if I have cheated anyone on their taxes. Now, see, none of you got that joke. That was a joke. If I have cheated anyone on their taxes, how did he get so... It's like, and if I have breathed. Of course he's cheated people on their taxes. That was his job. If I have cheated people on their taxes, I will give them back their money. What's that? Four times. That's right. I'm going to give four times. So half of his money, boom, he gives it to the poor. And then he gives four times back. He is out of money. He is making himself poor. Realize that one changed life will impact others. Zacchaeus' one life impacted everybody in that community. Who has he cheated? Everybody in that community. Who's going to receive money from Zacchaeus? Everyone in that community. You can say that he repented. Repent, Repent means to change direction. He was going this direction, and he did an about face. He went from taking money from people for his own personal gain to giving money to people. Completely changed that whole community. Verse 9, Jesus responded, "Salvation has come to this home today, for this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham." True son of Abraham, what does that mean? Paul explains that in Galatians 3:7. The real children of Abraham, then, are those who put their faith in God. Abraham had incredible faith, and so anyone that had great faith was considered a son of Abraham. And God said, this dirty, rotten, filthy scum tax collector was a son of Abraham. True son of Abraham. He used to put his faith in money, and now he put his faith in God. Faith will show through their actions. It will become obvious. There was nobody that doubted, wondered, is this really sincere? As they're getting paid back the money from Zacchaeus, they realized it was real. A number of years ago, I had an opportunity to take a tour through the Michigan City prison. And we sat down with the followers of Jesus in that prison. And they said, in prison, there is no halfway. Either you're a follower of Jesus or you're not. And everybody knows. We live with each other. We know who's really a follower of Jesus and who's not. We see their lives. There's no halfway. Faith shows through, especially in that area. Faith will show through our lives. And verse 10, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save those who are lost. Here's the bottom line. When we seek the lost, we are working with Jesus. We're working with Jesus. He's right there with us. He's doing what he can to help us. He's guiding us. He's empowering us. He's giving us fruit as we partner with him. But here's the million-dollar question. How can, like, almost all the friends I know are followers of Jesus. How can I do that? I don't know how to do that because I mostly know believers. And if you've been a follower of Jesus for a while, that would be true. Most of your friends are followers of Jesus. So what do you do? What time is it? It's tool time. So here's a tool. Here's a tool for you. Do things you enjoy with people who don't know Jesus. Do things you enjoy with people who don't know Jesus. Like, there was this guy that really enjoyed doing dog training. And so he started doing dog training in the park, and he put out posters that this time I'll be here, bring your dogs, and he taught dog training. And he developed relationships with a number of different people and started loving them with the love of Jesus, and some of them became followers of Jesus. There was somebody that liked to do fly fishing. Is that fishing for flies? I don't. But that's a really complicated thing to do to get your line to do all that fancy stuff. And so he would teach that. And the same thing. Develop relationships with people who don't know Jesus and live Jesus for them and lead them to Jesus. And so a number of years ago, I was a pastor at a church, and my responsibility was small groups. And so I shared that concept with small group leaders and said, you know, start a group like that. And so one guy at church started a writer's group. He was a writer on the side, and he started a group for people who write. And he wrote, he sent me this email after he'd been working at that for a while. Just thought I'd take a minute to update you on the progress of our writers group. We now have 5 regular attendees. My sister joined us about 4 weeks ago and is really excited about the group. She's got a piece prepared, a very good one, that she's submitting to Guideposts. Then my brother Phil, who I thought I would never see inside a church, joined us to start work on his Civil War documentary related to a drum that he owns that survived the Battle of Franklin. So now we've grown to 5, and the 5 we have appear to be very talented people. Nancy is working on getting some unchurched neighbors to attend. They write, but so far they've shied away from coming. I'm working on getting one of my clients from work to join us. She wants to write about outdoor material like myself. The group is growing slowly, and now I'm glad it is. The slow growth has allowed us to work out our procedures, likes, and dislikes. This is my favorite part. This is amazing. We started a group to reach unchurched people. I never dreamed one of them would be my own brother. Isn't that cool? So what do you like to do? What do you like to do? Do it with people who don't know Jesus. We have this tendency to think that if I like to do something, then I shouldn't do that. Right? My mentor, John Moran, was talking to a young lady after the service, and she said, I need prayer. She said, I don't know what God's will is for my life. He said, well, what do you want to do? Well, she said, I want to be a missionary. Well, you should do that. And she was confused. Really? He said, I thought God's will would be something I don't want to do. Have you ever thought like that? God's will, well, what do I want to do? I want to, you know, teach dog training. Okay. Start there and see how God leads you. It's okay to do things you like. There's this tendency to feel like, well, only the things I hate are the things that are spiritual. I don't like broccoli, so I'm going to eat some broccoli today, and God will bless my life. No. There's room in the body of Christ to do things you want and do it with people who don't know Jesus. And be Jesus, and then see what God does. See what he does. Unleash him in that relationship and see how he works. Would you stand with me? I'm going to challenge you. Here's what I'm going to challenge you to pray. God, I'm looking for a hungry person. Help me find one. Would you be willing to pray? You don't have to pray for a dozen. Pray for one. God, help me find one hungry person. Would you do that? I dare you. Let's pray together. Father, there are so many hurting, hungry people around us. Lead me to one. Now you say that to the Lord. Ask God to lead you to one. Father, make us like Jesus. Like Jesus reached to Zacchaeus, who made a huge impact in that community. Father, lead us to one person that you can use them to make a big difference in this community. Father, we're here. We have a heartbeat and we have air in our lungs because you're not done with us. There's something you want to do in our lives. There's a purpose for us. Help us to accomplish that purpose for your honor and for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.